I felt this morning during worship, I just noticed a theme, whether it was intentional or just kind of where I wandered off to, but this pronouncement of God, just acknowledging God, acknowledging his name, declaring we are blessed, declaring that it is well with my soul, this pronouncement. And the picture I got is, you know, when the bride is ready to walk down the aisle, what happens? They play her song. They make this pronouncement that she's about to enter in and everybody stands up. I just felt this morning that many of you are just needing your soul to just stand up and be encouraged due to the weight, due to the trials, due to the challenges of life, the season, whatever it may be. And I just felt like the worship team and Pastor Mike just postured us this morning. And I would encourage you to take the opportunity just to acknowledge that, Lord, we have made a pronouncement that we are one with you. And that in that pronouncement, you'd find the strength to realize that the Spirit of God is witnessing to your soul, declaring that you are worthy, that you are valuable, that you have purpose, that there is intentionality with your life, that there is no happenstance or circumstance that God isn't aware of or able to do something with or change or use for his good, and that you would be reminded again of his word, his faithfulness to you, to me, to his children. And so in the name of Jesus, we bless you. And we just speak right now to the nature of your soul, that it would be strengthened and brought upright in such a posture that it's able to carry the beautiful call on your life wherever you may go this week. Amen? Amen. Come on. I want to welcome you to Valley Christian Center this morning. Would you bow your hearts and heads with me? Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and praise. We thank you for the pronouncement this morning that you are good, that you are faithful, that, Lord, whether you give or take away, you are worthy, and we bless you this morning. And we thank you this morning for the offering and the tithe that we can bring before you. That, Lord, it is a declaration and a posture of our heart that says, Lord, it all belongs to you. Because it all comes from you. And that, Lord, there is more than enough. And we pray to the storehouses of this church, of this family, of this congregation. And we say that, Lord, let them be overflowing to meet the needs, not just within the congregation, but to meet the needs that are in our community. That, Father, no longer shall we live as a tail, but we shall rise up and be the head. We shall walk knowing that, Lord, you have made it abundantly clear that you alone are God. And in that, Lord, we give our offering and we say yes and amen to you this morning. Amen.
Father, you're healing souls today. Father, you're restoring confidence. You're renewing hope. God, in Jesus' name, only you can make our souls well. Only you can do it, Lord. So I feel this pause of the Lord to allow you just a moment, Lord, just to go a little bit deeper of healing the soul. Father, there's some folks here don't even recognize that their souls need to be healed. But Lord, you are here to restore and renew hope, love, and faith. These three remain. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these are love. Just receive it today. Just let his presence just wash over you today. In Jesus' name. Precious jewel. And our souls, God, are so precious to you. And in a world that just damages souls, you're the healer of our soul, Lord. And there's no soul, God, that's beyond redemption and healing. So in Jesus' name, I pray that every one of us can say through it all, our eyes are on you, and it is well. In Jesus' name. Would you agree, family, by just saying yes and amen? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep at night and I work all day. I don't know if that's actually a song, but I thought I'd just put that together. Today we're going to do something of sharing vision. 2 years ago, Hope Chapel, next month, joined with us and occupied our premises. It was a big deal. It was huge for a whole congregation where they have been for a number of years, and a calling and a place downtown to say, we're going to uproot what we have known and what we have experienced and what God has called us to do, and we're going to move to a whole different place. It's a huge deal. From the mouth of babes, he ordains praise. I just love that. Of course, it's Simon Michael, but I love all babies. So 2 years ago, dear ones, Pastor Jeff and I have been taught, spoke about in May about the possibility, because at that time, the place that they were staying, the landlords did not make it a place where it was suitable for a congregation to continue to worship there. And so for 2 years now, we have been together. If you guys remember just a couple weeks ago or last week, remember what the word agreement means? We're to agree concerning anything. Do you guys remember what that word means, to agree? It means to be with and to be together. So as I joked, I love Jerrica. I love her with all my heart, my daughter-in-law. But she brought into our family the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, okay, now that's not where we're going with this thing. Let's just not, I don't care. I don't care if they won or lost. I don't care. But if they were to invite us to a Seahawks game, I would be together with thousands of people, but I would not be with them because I'm a 49ers fan. And say all you want, I know they're bad. You're not going to hurt my feelings. That's okay. You can rail them all you want because I just know they're really bad. It's okay. But there's a difference in agreement of just being together or being with. Married couples, you can be together, but are you with? Single, are you have friends together with family? Are you together or are you just with? Are we in close proximity or are we with? So Pastor Jeff and I, we meet every week, pretty much every week if we're in town, and we have been together and with for 2 years now. We have been really praying. We've really been seeking the Father. And so I asked Pastor Jeff to come up, and he's gonna share his heart. I'm going to come tonight, and I'm going to share my heart. And then I'm going to close with just a few points from Acts chapter 15 that the Father has made alive to me about what we're doing, where we're going. And dear family, 2019 is going to be an amazing year of change. Now, how many loves change? I like it when I get to choose what the change looks like. And we as Christians, we go, oh, glory to glory. Well, that means change. That's all it means is change. And the Father sometimes has to drag us with our heel scuffs in the carpet toward his purposes. But that's not us. There's change coming. And I'm going to invite my good friend, who I really love. I'm going to ask Pastor Jeff to come and let him share his heart. And then I'm going to share a few moments from the scripture. So can you bless Pastor Jeff?
So we announced to our leadership teams yesterday. We've been meeting with our leadership teams, and we've been doing combined leadership meetings. And we announced to them yesterday that this weekend, today, both Sunday morning and Sunday night, we were going to make an invitation to our respective congregations, Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel. And the invitation is to join us in 2019 to bring ourselves not just to the place of being together, but being with. And I'm excited about that. Praise the Lord. And what's transpiring is a work of the Lord that is bigger than the local congregations that we call Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel. And one of the things that's been on my heart since I've moved to Lewiston 13 years ago, we planted Hope Chapel Lewiston, the church that I pastor and that we meet here Sunday nights. I felt the Lord brought us here to be, and this is the way the Lord speaks to me, is just to be Rocky Road Ice Cream. That throughout the valley, we talked about this yesterday in our leadership meeting, you can walk into any church and find the exact same components. They might look a little different, but I guarantee you there will be worship, there will be some presentation of the word, there most definitely will be a collection of money, an offering, there will be an opportunity for, you know, a greeting, announcement, and it, you know, around here we put more time probably into the worship component than we really do into anything else, and that's just our heartbeat. But it's really the same. And so you can go to any church in the valley and find the vanilla, strawberry, you know, whatever your flavor is, chocolate. So when the Lord planted us and called us here to be Rocky Road, I immediately had to begin to ask, well, what does that look like? Because again, nothing's new under the sun, and it's not competition. It's not us against them, or, hey, let's elevate ourselves and be different for the sake of being different. It's a matter of what does the valley need? Right. And at that time and in that season, we felt it just needed from the Lord. We felt it just needed something a little different. And so in the dynamic of being a little different, we went after a few things very, very intensely and very intentionally. And one was unity. Unity within the body of Christ. And so though I pastor a church, my heart truly is for the pastoring of the valley. And so one of the things that I used to say, I don't say it anymore because the Lord had to put me in check, was, oh, how big's your church? Oh, it's about 60,000. What is that? Well, there's about 60,000 that live in the proximity of Lewiston, Clarkson, Assotin, Lapway. You know, I'm pastoring a community. You know, so how many people do you pastor? I go to our denominational meetings. Well, how big is your church? I don't know, about 60,000. Like, how is that possible? Again, the Lord humbled me, but my point was, I needed a perspective that, Lord, I don't want to just stay at the local church level. We began to gather people with that vision, and behind that became a lot of other things that we began to do as outreach. Many of you are familiar with Days of Praise. Days of Praise got birthed out of that. But the second thing that really marked our heart that the Lord planted in us early on was the nature of generations and the identity of realizing there is no junior Holy Spirit, that we can see kids baptized in the Spirit and begin to have influence in the school level, and the call to what we call our senior saints or our elders, and never to settle for my time is done or my season is over, or my purpose has waned, and now I'm just going to sit by and watch others, you know, advance the church. And so we went after, what does it look like to marry the generations? And that's what we built the church on, and that's what we felt the Lord called us to build the church on. And what I'm excited about, and what I believe is a kindred spirit in Pastor Mike and Debbie and the staff and the leadership team and you here, is that's what you guys have been going after. That's what you've contended for. That's what you've believed for, the unity of the body of Christ. That it's not just about Valley Christian Center or Hope Chapel or River City or New Bridges or whatever name we put on it, because all of us know that when we get to heaven, there isn't any Valley Christian Center corner. There is no four square denomination corner. We are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to do ministry out of that mindset is a little different. And it's the rocky road. And I've had to learn over the years how to build relationship and not be contentious in realizing, hey, you know what? We're a little different, you know, because we're not going to draw our lines. Many of you, if you, you know, come on a Sunday night or have ever participated in what we call Hope Chapel, you don't hear me preach four square doctrine, because it's not about the four square doctrine. It's about, you know, the Word of God, which I believe the four square doctrine follows the Word of God in most areas, but But it's not about preaching that. It's about preaching the word of God. And so the invitation for all of you and the invitation that we'll make tonight at Sunday service is, will you join us in 2019? Would you believe that we feel that 2019 is a get ready year? Get ready to change the way you've done ministry. Get ready to look different. Get ready to begin to understand that the expression you've been familiar with, Valley Christian Center, Hope Chapel, is being changed by the hand of the Lord. Amen. Not by the intention of a couple guys that meet every week and go, hey, what can we craft? What can we stir up? What can we do different for the sake of doing different? Tonight, Pastor Mike this morning is going to share out of Acts 15. My verse for the why comes out of Mark chapter 1, and I'll be sharing that tonight and invite you to join us. But briefly, in Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus healing and delivering people and casting out demons. And this is the mark of his ministry according to the Gospel of Mark. And Peter comes to him early in the morning because Jesus departed to pray. And Jesus is just connected with the Father. He's been getting a download and insight into the plans and purposes of the Father for Jesus's life. And Peter comes and finds him early in the morning and says, hey, Jesus, there's a whole line of people lined up that need healing. They need deliverance. They want you to come back and minister to them. And Jesus says to Peter, let's go on to the next city, for this is the purpose in which I've been sent. Listen, there's no denying that God is doing a great work in what we call Valley Christian Center. There's no denying that God is doing a great work in what we call Hope Chapel. But there's also a greater purpose. And I don't want to settle. Pastor Mike, you're going to hear from him. He doesn't want to settle. Our leadership team yesterday put themselves in a posture that's saying we're not willing to settle for just knowing that God is doing a good work. And we're seeing some healings, we're seeing deliverance, and things are great the way they are. We want to go on to the greater purpose. And I believe, in my own wording, that greater purpose involves joining our services, joining our leadership, joining our commission to preach the gospel, joining our visions into a singular oneness that's going to mark this valley and beyond, unlike anything we've done. Not because of some special thing that we are or that we think we are, but because God has called us at this time to see things differently. And so I am humbled, and I'm honored to stand before you this morning and say thank you for the grace that you've shown us these last 2 years just to kind of figure out, Lord, why would you call us out of downtown? Why would you call us into this beautiful giant sanctuary in the middle of a residential community where I had no desire to go? Why would you put us here so that he could reveal and expose the issues of my heart to get my attention, while at the same time showing me the heart and the call that is upon Pastor Mike and Deb and the family that is known as Valley Christian Center? And because I've seen it and because I see the Lord's on it, I'm so excited to just say, Lord, the changes you want to make in 2019 to get us ready for 2020, to get us ready for what you want to do in marrying the generations and leaving a legacy, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for where we've been. I'm grateful for where we are, and I'm excited about where we're going. And so again, my heart is thank you. Thank you. And would you please join me in praying? Would you join the leadership team of Valley and Hope and the board and the council in praying that, Lord, we need to hear your voice and understand what you want to do in this year. And so would you just bow your heart real quick, and then Pastor Mike's going to share out of Acts 15. Lord, I thank you even right now that as we make this public, as we make this confession to say, Lord, what does it look like to bring two into agreement where they are with one another and their identity as individuals is overshadowed by the oneness of the Spirit. It is eclipsed by the oneness of your goodness, Lord. I thank you that even right now, as we ponder this, as we digest this, as we begin to make steps towards what does this actually look like, Lord, that, Lord, there would be grace. There'd be grace in the area of vulnerability. There'd be grace in the area of fear. That there'd be grace in the area of the uncertainty. There'd be grace in the area of learning to let go and move on. There'd be grace in the area of, Lord, what does it look like to embrace change? And Father, we pray this not believing that, Lord, there isn't sufficiency of grace, but we pray it as a declaration that, Lord, we will look for the grace. We expect the grace. We need the grace. And we believe that, Lord, in this year of 2019 that's on our doorstep, that there is a great readiness and preparedness that you want to do in us and through us for something that we are just beginning to get a glimpse of in the years to come. And so we thank you that your name is on this, your name is in this, and your name will be glorified through this. Yes and amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. So in about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, let me share my heart with you. We've been on this journey of what does love require? We've been on that journey for about 3-4 years now. Remember, this is my command, as I have loved you, love each other. 2018, our word for 2018 was this: make room, make space. You got to enlarge. There's more to come. And so one of the things that I want to share with you just real quick is Acts 15 is an area of scripture that I've read a number of times. And I can honestly say that up until about the last few weeks, it was just a footnote of a historical event in the history of the church. But when you start asking different questions, God opens up the Word of God in different ways to you. That He begins to open up insights that I had never seen before in Acts 15. I think I got a ring back here, Ryan, somewhere. Yeah. Does that sound weird? Trying to find the ring. So we got a problem in Acts 15, and here's the problem. It's a really good problem. Gentiles are getting saved over and over by the thousands, but primarily the leadership of the church are Jews. And so in this conflict, you've got these Gentiles who do not have thousands of years of this is how you serve God. They don't have the law. They don't have the Torah. They don't have all these things. They're just coming to Christ, and now there's this conflict because of this cultural difference between this is how the Jews serve God for thousands of years and these Gentiles would serve false gods. And so this brought into conflict with Paul and Barnabas. They go to Jerusalem, and we're going to read at verse 5. We're going to start there in verse chapter 5 of Acts 15. It says, then some of the believers, say believers. So these are followers of Jesus Christ. These are not the Judaizers. Judaizers were the men who would come in who were not followers of Jesus, but they would come in and try to siphon away disciples after them according to the law. These men followed Jesus Christ. And it says, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. These are probably the Pharisees, the priests in Acts chapter 6 who came to Christ that we read of, that a large number of priests come to Jesus. And though they would come to Jesus, they still carried their heritage, they still carried their history, they still carried their customs, they carried all these things into the relationship with God. And now there's this tension going on because, yes, Jesus Christ died on the cross, but we still have to do what we know. And what we know from the Old Testament is that you got to be circumcised and you got to follow the law of Moses. And dear ones, we can be the same way. That we can be followers of Jesus Christ, but we can carry our same customs, traditions, the way in which we like things, the way in which we have known things to be. We can carry those things into our walk with Christ. This is what church looks like. This is what it looks like to be a Christian. We can carry these same things in. And when God starts doing something, it can create a tension and a place of being uncomfortable. And this is what's going on with right here in Acts chapter 15. So what I love about the leadership of the church. In verse 6, it says, the apostles and the elders met together to consider this question. So they didn't dismiss the question of this change that was going on. They didn't say, we've got 2,000 years looking in the rearview mirror of saying, of course you can't obey the law of Moses. Of course circumcision of the flesh is not what he's talking about. It's of the heart. Of course. But at this point in juncture, this tension was being carried because this is how the Jews worship God for centuries. And now they're saying you don't have to worship God this way anymore. And there's this pushback of the religious Pharisees who were followers of Jesus Christ. The leadership didn't dismiss them, didn't minimize them, didn't say that's foolish. They listened and they considered their question. I like how Luke records it. The Pharisees, the party of the Pharisees made a statement, this has to happen. And the apostles and the elders said, let's turn it into a question. Let's consider this. Dear ones, we are on a journey together that I have never experienced in all my years of ministry. Whoa. I felt like I was about to be raptured right there for a moment. That would be a bad thing. So understand that as we do this journey, this isn't a merger. This isn't like one church absorbing another church. These are not a business move. This isn't like, well, let's be bigger because if you bring your people and we'll bring our people, then we'll be a bigger church. Yay! That's not what this is about. This is about us loving each other as Christ called us to love. And I need you all to look me in the eye for a moment. And I want to say this with such compassion, but also with some energy. The days of just coming to church are over. The days of defining our walk with Christ is how many times I attend are over. It's part of, but it's not the sum total of. God desperately needs you, because the days of people we just open up our door, say, come to church, are over. We're never going to get them back. It's never going to come back. It is the responsibility and it's the biblical call for us to not just say, we're here, but for us as you go to make disciples of people. Where two or three gathered in my name, there's the ecclesia, there's the church. This gathering is really important, but it's not everything. It's got an important place, but it's not everything. It's you and I being equipped to whoever is within our touch to be demonstrators of the person of Jesus Christ. A change is coming. How many can say yay? Okay, I was going to say something, but I just went, I'll just chew it and swallow it down. Okay, verse 7, after much discussion. So let me think. If you have questions about what's going on, ask. Yeah. Ask. Right now, what we're trying to explain to you is the why. We're going to get, as Pastor Jeff did really well yesterday, the how and the what. We're moving toward the how and the what. That's 2019. That's how we're going to, what does this look like and how are we going to do it? Those are important questions. Right now, we're explaining the why. And the why is that God has called us, has always called the church, to love each other and to walk in unity together. To not be silos of churches, but to come together and learn how to love the different expressions. Learn how to love outside of how we are accustomed to love. So let me just move forward. So Peter stands up. You can read the verse, the Acts 15 yourself. Peter stands up and he begins to describe what happened in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is at a tanner's house and he's hungry and he goes up and he's about, and he has this vision of these creatures that he's not supposed to eat come down, and the Lord says, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord, I have never done that. I won't do it. And then God was telling him, listen, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. A Jewish man, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. The Jews would not associate. And so he goes to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, and he just says a simple message. Why am I here? I'll just tell you about Jesus. And boom, Holy Spirit hits them, and they all speak in other tongues. And he goes, let's get them baptized, right? Acts chapter 11, the Jewish believers go, you went into the home of a Gentile. You're not supposed to do that. Peter got called to the carpet, and Peter goes, hey, listen, here's what God did. And they all said, okay, cool. But now we have it again. Some things don't change overnight. Some things we need to hear it again and again and again until we understand what God is doing. So what is Peter doing? Peter is explaining to the people, the whole church, what is God doing right now? And dear ones, right now, I believe with all my heart that God is answering the prayer of Jesus in John 17, let them be one as we are one, that the world may believe that you sent me. I believe right now that's what he's doing. Now here comes Barnabas and Paul. Paul wasn't like the super apostle at this time. Barnabas was the leader. Paul was this up and coming guy that not a lot of people have heard of yet, but he was recognized that the hand of God was on him, and they begin to describe what God was doing through the miracles that were taking place. And so what was taking place? Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, it says, at the testimony of two witnesses, let everything be established. So what is God doing? He is getting an establishment of what he's doing now. And God knew Acts 15 was going to take place. So what does he do? In Acts chapter 10, he specifically calls Peter to do something to go into the Gentiles. Why? Because in Acts 15, he's going to have to explain to the Jewish believers that this is blowing their mind, that they need to go back to the law. They need to go back to following Moses. He's going, no, guys, we weren't able to keep the law of Moses. And so God used Peter's voice. He was trusted. He was accountable. He was a man that had proven himself to say, God is doing this right now. We're not going to go back. We're not going to go do what we used to do. We're going to move forward. And then Barnabas and Paul, they got up and they began to testify what God was doing. And so now we have two or three witnesses that are confirming the now of what God's doing. Dear ones, I can't tell you how many times people have come into our lives that don't even go to our church who are prophetically are saying, I see God doing this. I see God doing this. And it's like, bing, 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 bing. It's so right on. And they had no idea. What is it? It's the confirmation of two or three witnesses, let alone the heart of people in this whole assembly that say, God's up to something right now. And the third thing that happens is this. James stands up. James is probably the younger brother of Jesus. And probably at this time, he is the head apostle of the church of Jerusalem. And this is my why. I know what my why is. And it's found right here. If you'll go with me to verse number 13. When they finished, James spoke up. Here's what he said. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. Verse 15. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, after this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. What is he doing? He's quoting from the Old Testament what God was doing now. So my litmus test is this, and the why, is what we are going after, is it biblical? Can I find scripture that says this is God? We've got the witness, we've got the evidence, we've got the testimony, but is the Bible tell us this? And I came to this understanding, absolutely. And just a couple of them. Ephesians chapter 4 says, God has given to the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the training of the saints for the work of the ministry. This isn't hierarchical. Apostle, prophet, it's not hierarchical. It's a team of people that God brings together so that we can be trained and equipped to do what God wants us to do in this world. Now, stay with me for just a moment longer. I can almost guarantee you that if you've been raised in church or you've spent any amount of time in church except for the last 35, 40 minutes, that when you go to a church, here's what it looks like. You got the senior pastor. You got maybe, if the church is big enough, some kind of an associate pastor. You've got a children's worker. Maybe you got a youth pastor. And it's this guy or this gal, they are the ones who carry the vision, and they say, here's what God's doing, and we all just do what they say. That is the model that the church has adopted for a long time in America. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, I can't do that anymore. I don't carry all the gifts. No one does. And it's never supposed to have been that way. God's government has never been, you're the man. Tell us what to do. It's been a collaboration based on love, humility, and servanthood, where we identify, this is who God has made me to be. And so I'm an arm, a leg, an ear, a nose, a mouth, a foot. And too often we have hands that are walking like their feet because we have a program that needs a foot. But we don't have any feet in the church. So let's make that hand into a foot. And so we're like walking, hey, this looks really cool, right? When the reality is, God puts in the church, he forms it, the body as he sees fit. So instead of being programmatic, where we go, we got to have this program now. Okay, you do that. I know you hate children. I know you don't like them, but we need someone to watch the kids. So here's our goal. Just don't kill them. And we go, we got a children's ministry. Yay! We can guarantee you this thing. They'll come out alive. Instead of doing that, why don't we discover who's the arm, the leg, the nose, the ear, the mouth, the foot, the whatever it is, and let's build the church from what God has already given us. That's why you're so needed. I might not be an arm, Boy, we need an arm. You're an arm? Yay, we've been looking for you, discovering how God has formed us. So, family, Deb and I, our gift to this church and to God's kingdom, here's what we are. We're healers and we're fixers. That's what we do well. All of our 30 years of ministry, all we have done, and I don't say that all like it's to minimize it. Our focus has been, God's focus is that we go into places that are in need of healing and fixing. And we come in and we roll up our sleeves and we go, let's go. That makes us come alive. That makes us go, that's what I was made for. My wife can take the most messy systems, things aren't working, and she'll go, oh, yeah. In fact, when we were first married and she was balancing the checkbook, tell me if I'm telling the truth, there'd be one penny off, and she would say, I am not stopping till I find that penny. And I would say, throw a stick, here's a penny, here's a dime, right? Let's go. And she goes, no, I'm going to find that penny. And then about an hour and a half later, she goes, aha, I found the penny. That is our gift to the kingdom. That's our gift. But we can't build what God wants to do just on our gift. We need other gifts operating. You're needed. At the end, the Bible says that the whole church came together with a plan. It started with this segment. The Pharisees of the sect, or the party of the Pharisees who were believers, said, this is how it has to be. They discussed it. They talked about it. And they said, and they gave evidence to what God is doing now. And then James says, guys, we've got Bible to back this up. We've got Bible to prove this is what God is doing now. Okay, now the whole church came together and they had a plan and they sent it out to the other churches, the Gentile churches, and there was great rejoicing in the churches. And the church was edified and encouraged. Why? Because the leadership and the core said, God is doing something right now. We have evidence, we have testimony, and we have Bible. Let's go. And now the sect of the Pharisees, they were not saying anymore, you need to be circumcised, you need to follow the law of Moses. They're on board because God is showing them, I'm doing something right now. I need you guys, and I'm asking you, and I'm inviting you to do a few things. Number one, you need to really pray. Without becoming dramatic, without becoming overly dramatic, the enemy hates when the people of God come together in unity. He doesn't care how big we are. We could have 10,000 people come to this church, but if we are just together and not with, we're not impacting the community. This is so much more than how many people can fit into a building. This is us changing our culture and changing the community here. That's what this is about. So I need you to say, Pastor Mike, I'm going to pray. I am going to really pray. I'm going to really pray. And how many will lift your hand? And even if you don't mean it, just make me feel better. You're going to pray. Okay? Carry it with me. Carry it with us. Carry that. And here's the verse. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul says, I'm in labor over you until Christ is formed in you. That what Christ is forming, we've got to labor in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, talking about Epaphras. He says this about him. He says he is always wrestling in prayer that you might stand firm in the will of God, fully assured. Dear ones, what we are going after is not to be cool, is not to be unique, is not to go, hey, man, we're doing something. No, that's not it. We're walking in obedience to the Father. So we got to understand we have to pray and wrestle in prayer until this is formed and happens. So this, when I ask you to pray, is very, very serious. Secondly, what's your part? And this might, we're going to take a little time with. That's what 2019 is going to be, because too often church has been, hey, do you work with kids? Come on. You work with you? Come on. Can you be, come on. But this is so much bigger than that, that we have to discover what your sweet spot is. We want to help you know what your sweet spot is, where something of the kingdom where you go, I would do this for free because this is what I live for. That's how we want to do ministry. That's how we want to do church. If you're a hand, you need to be a hand. and not be a foot. Hands look awful with shoes on them. If you're an arm, an eye, an ear, you need to be an ear. So we want to help in 2019. We want to help develop and understand. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing this zealots thing. The zealots is, it helps you discover, this is my sweet spot. This is how God made me. This is what, with all the pain, all the issues I've gone through, this is what, oh, I know now what God is doing this. And so as we came out of zealots in the end of October, or in the middle of October, the folks came out going, oh, I'm getting it. 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 And it doesn't matter if you're 12 or if you're 80. As long as you got breath, God wants to use you. No retirement in the kingdom. Third thing I'm going to ask you is I'm going to ask you to give, because the heart of giving is the heart of being open to doing. I'm not talking just your finances. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about that church doesn't become somewhere you attend, but church becomes somewhere that you launch from to see people come to salvation. 3 weeks from now, I'm sharing on the 8th of December. I'm going to tell a story about my son, Josh. He knows. I'll just leave it there. But it's a story that God has stirred in my heart, a remembrance of a situation. But dear ones, there are people that we come in contact with every day that if they don't know Jesus, the opportunity is to know Jesus. That's why we're doing this. And my heart, I don't have to go there. So here's the invitation. Some of you might be like, I'm all in. Some of you might be going, I'm going to put a half a foot in. I'm going to see what's going to happen. Some are like, let's wait. Some are might be like, nah, oof, this is going to be hard for me to say this. I love you guys. As your pastor, if you say, I can't do this, you come and tell me, and I'll bless you. I'll help you find a home. I'll help you find a home to go to. He's a love. Isn't he a lovely lad? Isn't a lovely girl carrying him? And a lovely man who stood up to. We're just all lovely today. Because this has, we got to be in on this. And 2019 will be our opportunity to go, what does this look like? We filled a mandate from the Lord, and it's been confirmed by a number of people that we have till 2020 to be up and running. We got to be up and running because we got to change this culture. Now, Jesus is the Savior. Someone say amen to that. We don't save anybody. We're not, I don't go out. I'm not telling go out and save. I'm telling about living the purpose life of what God has called us to do. It's not God's will that the majority of this valley doesn't know him as Savior. It's not God's will that this valley has had 1% growth for 573 years. It's not God's will that all we are known for is we used to be the territorial capital. Praise God. Boise took it. Okay. But this is 2018. Let's move on, shall we? It's God's will for this city and this valley, Clarkston, Lewiston, Assotin, Lapway, that there is not a really wonderful expression of the kingdom of God. It's not his will. It's his will to see his kingdom come, his will be done. And that's us. We're going on an adventure, gang. Let me be finished. Thank you for giving me a few extra moments. We've had a couple of people who we trust. One is one of our own board members. In a board member, it was Tom Blewett, and it was confirmed by other people. Tom, in a board meeting, he said, Mike and Jeff, you're like Lewis and Clark. And we heard it from other people. You're like Lewis and Clark. And what did Lewis and Clark do? They knew there was something out there, but they had to prove it was. And that's what I know in my heart. There is something out there in the kingdom. I've never seen it. I can't quantify it. I can't show you here it is. But there's something out there in the kingdom. And he might be Lewis, and I might be Clark, or I might be Lewis, and he might be Clark. I don't care who's who, but we're saying we're going on an adventure, and we need some Sacagaweas, and we need some folks who are saying, let's go, let's go. Would you just whisper that with me? Let's go. Can we say it a little bit louder? Let's go. Wow, there's something was released there. Stand with me, if you will. If you have any questions, we'll do the best we can to answer them. We're not trying to hide anything. We're not trying to work anything up. When Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan, everybody crossed. And some went real fast, and others, it took a while for them to get there. But we want everybody to cross. We want everybody to come along. And we want everybody to say, I've got a part to play in this. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Wow. Thank you, my dear friend. Oh, wow. Mary. Then Shirley. Mary. Really?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Yay. Shirley. Do you guys sense the presence of the Lord in this? He loves loves unity. It's not uniformity. It's not you can only have unity through diversity. He loves the diversity, arm, leg, ear, nose. He loves that. But it's the heart of love that unifies us. It's how we love. I want to say thank you, guys. Deb and I have been here 13 years, and the Father told us we have done what we came for. We're ready for this next place. We're ready to move forward. We're ready to see God do something great. We're ready. And it's because y'all have had heart to say, let's go. I bless you in Jesus' name. Father, I bless my family. Through many dangerous toils and snares, we have already come. But Lord, that's behind us now. Now we set our face forward into loving a greater capacity, not only each other, but people that were of this valley. People, Lord God, that you love so much. And Jesus, you have worked diligently to prepare us for this moment, all of us. It's not a coincidence that each one's here. You have specifically chosen them for this mission that is outside the box of what normal has been known for years. So Lord, let us be comfortable being known as abnormal, because your kingdom is abnormal. In fact, family, look at me a moment. That might be our new name. Welcome to Abnormal Church. It won't be that, trust me. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless the Father's heart for you. I bless the identity that you have in him. I bless the coming together. Pastor Jeff and I, we bless you because you have blessed us, and you have hearts that have said yes to whatever the Father has. We bless our leadership who have along this way have continued to say yes, has asked the hard questions, who've probed those areas where we go, I'm not sure about, and they stayed in prayer, and they stayed in community and in communication. We've stayed in agreement. And Lord, in 2019, it's the year, Father, of adjusting into 2020. And there's no coincidence, Lord. We didn't think of it, but it's 2020 vision. We didn't think of it that now our vision of 2020 is going to be so clear, but we got to get it ready in 2019. So the invitation is here, and I thank you for the hearts that are saying, let's go. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give honor and glory to the Lord?